They're desperate. They see their player counts drop. They see their concurrent players drop. Forget the viewership. It's like people are getting disinterested and they're moving on. They're trying different things.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Epic does because I think they are holding the keys to the kingdom. COD, Call of Duty is doing their best just to catch up. If you notice, Call of Duty had the release date, and what did Epic Games do? They said, yeah, we're going to drop the OG Epic map on the same Friday. Venture hustles, life is really what you make it. Building up your brand, it's whatever you created. Really ain't no limit, you just got to love it. Working day and night, it's all about the venture hustle. Hey, venture hustles, time to take it to the next level. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Venture Hustles podcast. This is your co-host Saj, bringing you another episode of Venture Hustles with my other co-host Jack. And in this episode, we're going to dive into the immersive world of gaming. So, you know, with technology leaping forward, we're looking at what the future holds for gamers, developers. You know, we're talking about AI, VR, virtual reality, augmented reality, you name it, we've got it covered. So, if you're as intrigued as we are about this digital frontier, stick with us and hit that like, subscribe button if you're listening and you haven't subscribed. Let's get started.
Shall we?
How are we doing, man?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby today. It's the weather's getting a little chillier out here.
Yeah, it's cold
so,
in New York.
Time to kind of button up a bit. How are you? How are we doing?
Good. You know, we're kind of getting in. It's a pretty exciting topic we're talking about. Gaming, both you and I are fans of gaming.
Oh yeah,
and we're pretty tapped in, as they'd say, in the world of gaming. So I think you know, our producer James is also you know, a little bit of a gamer. I think.
I mean, he's a big Marvel guy. So any Marvel or
games,
hero DC S game that comes out, yes, I'm talking about Spider-Man. He's been all over it.
The new Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool game too. So future of gaming. Again, a topic that is kind of close to the heart here because we are super involved. A lot of new games coming out. A lot of newer ones just launched kind of at the time of recording here.
Yep.
So with that being said, I mean, what excites you now in regards to like the gaming landscape? I guess what's happening now? What are maybe some predictions potentially?
I think gaming has evolved so much, right, over the last, like, decade. Mm-hmm. It's just so fast and exponential. I think it's really cool to see interesting takes from different studios. Like, for example, I was just thinking about this. Rockstar Studios that produced Red Dead Redemption and GTA, and the new GTA 6 is currently in development. It's going to come out hopefully soon, maybe, like, next year.
Yeah, the first trailer, I think they said, releases next month.
Oh yeah,
it's like yeah. There's so much hype around it.
I just think that's gonna take things because you see like all these new releases, right? We have like the new Spider-Man game that came out.
Yep.
We had I don't know, the new open world Harry Potter game. I think the open world first person view style of game is going to get crazier once GTA 6 drops because that is going. Like, I just think people are going to be absolutely blown away by what the developers, because they do not care about money.
No,
they do not care. I mean, of course they do. There's bits and pieces of it, but that's not a focus. Like, you know, franchises like Activision pumping out Call of Duty after Call of Duty just for money. GTA said, Rockstar said, let's take our time with it.
I mean, and they sure did.
So I think I'm excited about just how that's going to change because I think the VR world is getting a little stale.
Yes.
And that's been around for like 5, 6, 7 years now. And so I'm excited to see what that new frontier is going to look like from I'm a first person gamer, you know, so from that perspective. I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I think that's a good take. I like the open world take because I think there's a lot of the VR world absolutely has been getting stale.
Yeah.
You know, obviously with Fortnite kind of, you know, obviously there's PUBG and what was that? H1Z1, right? Those are kind of like the founders of that kind of VR setting. But we had Fortnite, we had Warzone, we had Apex, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops. Something. What was that one called? It was like open world. It was a battle royale. It was kind of like horrible though. I forgot the name of it. But
then we have. I think we had Dr. Disrespect, this big streamer.
That one is coming along too. But that one's like very close beta.
I think he missed the hype on that. I just think that it took too long. And it did take like long. I don't know if
Dead
people,
Job, I think it's called.
I don't know. I mean, he was, it would have been a very him brand focused release, but I don't know. I don't know how that's going to come along.
That, like, from the outside, it's like very confusing because I know when they first started developing that, it was like an NFT thing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And then they were kind of recruiting like a team members. I actually applied to see like just to even be a, it was like a founder's something where you could have like opinions or advice on like the game itself. I thought it would have been sick. Obviously nothing happened with that, you know, for us or for me. But in regards to my take, I think the open world, you know, the Call of Duty just launched the newer Call of Duty and they have open world zombies.
Yeah, I know. It's basically like BR zombies.
It's so from, I haven't played it at all yet. It released Friday. And from what my friends told me, it's literally like DMZ with zombies. So you literally can just run around the map.
Is it good?
He said it's pretty good. It's fun. It's a different take. I was interested when they released it or said they were going to do it.
Yeah, and then
I was interested to see what it would look like, but that, you know, that's what it is now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it to our listeners here.
I think, if we're talking about Call of Duty as a franchise alone, it's just, I think something fresh needs to happen. I just think right now it's just very money focused. But we were talking about the gaming landscape, right? Overall, in the last decade, I think there have been games, like my personal take is, where if we're talking like early 2000s, there's been some incredible games that came out that we haven't been able to replicate yet. You know, like when it comes to storyline and comes to the user experience and just like the player experience, I think in 2023, in the world of gaming, it's all very short bursts of user satisfaction that accounts to dollars, you know, and I just don't think that it's.
I think you said it best before, the BR game, let's say, or landscape is just so stale right now. So stale. Now, Fortnite brought back its OG map. That shook up the entire gaming world because now they hit all new records for their current players. Right? So over, I don't want to mess this up. Was it over 400 million or 40 million? I think it was like a couple hundred million concurrent players. I may be misspeaking.
When it just came out?
When it, on the first 2 days it came out.
There's no way it's 400 million. Okay, 40 million is also crazy.
A producer saying, so I'm adding a zero. So 40 million concurrent players broke their record of, you know, when they previously had it. That is nuts.
That's even that is pretty insane.
So I'm excited to see. So for the future, I'm excited to see what Epic does because I think they are holding the keys to the kingdom. COD, Call of Duty is doing their best just to catch up. If you notice, Call of Duty had the release date and what did Epic Games do? They said, yeah, we're going to drop the OG Epic map on the same Friday.
Yeah, but just it's
like,
so,
oh my God.
But think about it like this. And I this is not my take, but it's okay. I've heard someone say this. What is Epic doing and what is Activision Call of Duty doing right now in 2023, even the last couple of years? They are bringing back old maps just to get people to play.
As a bridge,
they're bringing back old, not a bridge. They're desperate. They see their player counts drop. They see their concurrent players drop. Forget the viewership. It's like people are getting disinterested and they're moving on. They're trying different things.
Yeah.
They have to bring back stuff from 5, 6, 7 years ago, like Call of Duty, the latest one, Modern Warfare 3. They're sneak peeking. Hey, play on Rust again. Play on Scrapyard.
I know.
These maps that are almost like a decade old.
Literally.
And they're people. So I mean, I just think that there's no innovation there, and I think
I would agree.
I think they just I think they have a lot of people that just get tasked to do something in these major studios like that. That's why when you see indie game studios come up with something really sick, those come out of passion and drive, and then they get picked up by a major studio and it becomes a commercial success. But the reality is, these massive studios like Activision, Epic, maybe not Rockstar because I think their vision is a little bit different, but their focus is never on quality. It's more so quantity and money, because they're just not indie studios.
I think Activision, I completely agree, but with Epic, I mean, I think they have created a lot of unique player experiences. Like for example, like with the Travis Scott stuff, with the concert live and experiences like that.
Yeah, but
they paved the way. Now, I do agree though with they're bringing back old maps. Is there any innovation? Maybe optimistically, it's a bridge to something extravagant with Activision. I don't think. I think this is kind of where it stops. For Epic, I don't know. I feel like they've always kind of tried to push the needle. That's what I think, at least.
I just think that if you have... if a map is really good and people really like it, release it as a standalone game and release it permanently. You don't have to keep doing this back and forth season updates and just release it. Keep it running.
That's fair.
And then innovate new things. But like, why would they do that? They're doing that because they see a player mm-hmm. count drop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good take for sure.
You know, I don't know.
We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, but let's talk about like tech advancements, right? Yeah. We're talking about in gaming. What do you think are the most influential tech advancements in gaming today?
I think there's two main kind of sectors here. Number one would be like the AR, VR space.
Okay.
Okay. The second one's going to be AI.
Okay.
Now with AI, like for me, I think this is going to be super cool because it adds another element to the game that is not scripted.
Okay.
Right? So for example, with GTA. Mm-hmm. How cool would it be where you can just walk up to random, you know, NPCs and just have conversation with them? I think it gives the player more flexibility with the storyline mm-hmm. and what they're able to do and accomplish. Right. And that's just from a user standpoint. Now, from a development standpoint, I mean, God
knows. Not prefixed conversations, you mean? More dynamic conversations that can literally be unique every single time you talk to them?
Yes. Okay, and even think about all now, like, because typically there has been games that have given you flexibility. Like GTA was a good example of this where like you could take different routes on the story. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there was only of them. But the AI, I feel like it can now be actually limitless. Like you play GTA, I play GTA. We have two, there's core missions, sure. But we have two completely different experiences because of answers and choices that we made.
I think that we're going to get there maybe another 5-10 years. Because I think the tech has to, it's not just, if it was what the text context mm-hmm. was going to be, then that can kind of go anywhere. But it's not just that. When we're talking, forget AR, VR, just even in a regular video game, mm-hmm. for that to happen, like we're talking about assets like 3D models that have mm-hmm. to modify, move their lips in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Everything's dynamic.
So it's not there yet, I don't think.
Okay.
I think it's going to get there. At FFP, when we're talking about character modeling avatars and stuff like that, mm-hmm. now we're seeing where the avatar can dynamically talk and speak. But mm-hmm. I think maybe 5 years is too long. I think in the next 2 years, we might see that.
I would say in the next 12 to 18 months, I think we start to see that.
Yeah, I think so too. Whoa. So... I'm bugging out a little bit.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the next I cannot remember the game, but I saw a video of the NPC kind of example that I just mentioned. That's kind of why I did that, because I saw a video of it.
What?
I forgot the game, but it was almost like a Spider-Man type setting where the player went up to an NPC and was just having a dynamic conversation. He had his mic on and he was just saying. So this is what he said to the NPC. He goes, "You're in a video game." NPC goes, "What?" He goes, this isn't a real world. You're in a video game. And NPC goes, "What are you talking about? This is my home. This is my real world. I live down the block." And he like literally kept saying that. And the NPC was fucking bugging out.
"Listen, I have to tell you the truth.
Excuse me, sir. Do I know you?
You are living in a simulated world. This isn't real.
I don't know what you're talking about. But if you don't leave me alone, I'll have to call the police."
"No, I'm serious. This is you are not real. You are a computer."
"I assure you, I am a real person. Now please, leave me alone."
"You are not a real person. You were made by real people. You're just code."
"I don't appreciate your insinuations. Leave me alone, or there will be consequences."
"What kind of consequences?"
"I suggest you walk away now before I make you regret bothering me."
Like, actually, but it's on my Instagram. I saved the clip because it was gnarly. But it was like,
now that we're talking about like AI and then there's AI ethics now.
It was almost like the best comparison. Have you ever watched Rick and Morty?
Yeah, bits and pieces.
Okay, so there's an episode in Rick and Morty. And if you're a Rick and Morty fan, which I am, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There's an episode where Rick and Morty, Rick's like spaceship breaks down and then he goes into the battery and he essentially created like a civilization in his battery to create power for him. Jeez. Okay, so him and Morty go in there and this is kind of like a little tangent, but I will get there. Mm-hmm. They go in the battery, they see what's going on, and then the civilization he created in the battery created a civilization for them in their battery. So it's like an endless loop of guys just creating people just like, to work.
Yeah,
and that's, I feel like, what like that AI thing is. Like, it's like, this isn't real. You're not in a real world. You're in a video game. And the AI, bro,
was bugging out.
Dude, freaking out. Like, that's cool. Like, be able to, let's say you're playing Spider-Man, right? For those of you who haven't played the new Spider-Man, it's sick. Putting your headset on and just talking to a random bystander. Like, I feel like that would just be so cool. And now, what's the actual use case or like longevity of that? I don't know. But even just from, you know, an idea or just one thing, like, I think that's cool. I don't know.
I mean, I think that you're talking about simulations and things like that. I think we're very like close to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it, at the end of the day, there's multi levels of resources, you know, like that
for
that,
sure,
you know, so that and then where I mean, if you think about it, like if we're at the top of the simulation, then we are controlling what resources the next simulation is going to have.
Yes,
essentially, like, you know, that's what's happening.
That's well perfectly said for that Rick and Morty example I just said.
Perfectly said. Yeah,
you said it much more kind of precise than I did.
But I mean, it's crazy to see all this, right? Because it's we're talking about
so cool, man.
All these.
It really is.
So some of the things that we should talk about is the futuristic tech products that are in development that are available now.
These are things. So I remember, right? And this was, when did the original Meta Quest come out? Maybe 2-3 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Or 3 years ago. But you picked yours up.
I picked it up
like 2 years ago, maybe a year ago.
Just about. And I remember, I got it. We came in. You know, we were all like messing with it. It was super cool. And then you were like, "I'm like, you're gonna get one." You're like, "Oh, I mean, it's cool. Ooh, it's cool, but it's just too big. It's too bulky."
Yep.
And then you go, "When they come out the glasses, I'll get those like immediately because that's what I'm waiting for." Uh-huh. So with that being said, Apple just kind of did their yearly preview. Meta also has done their yearly
Apple
preview.
Apple Vision Pro, yep. Meta
what
release,
is your take?
Meta Quest 3.
What's your take on some of these AR products?
It's still bulky. I think it's cooler because now it's not just AR or VR, it's mixed reality.
Yes.
So both Apple and Meta are clear competitors in the space. In a high-end space, we'll see how their release does.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about it because I see a lot of people ripping the cost and the price, but I think that
it's, what, $3,500?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think on Meta side, when they're easily releasing something that's $500, but they're literally showing a lot of the similar functionalities, I think the quality, the fidelity looks a little weak on Meta.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Apple, I think it's Apple's just going to bring in their own user experience, which is going to be insane.
I know.
But I think Apple's next gens are going to be insane.
Like the version 2s you're saying of it?
Yep. I think this one is going to be just here's our take on it.
Here's
it's
our
a little
MVP,
polished. This
version
is it.
One.
Yep. And then I think everything else. But I just think that for me as a consumer, like I'll probably buy the Apple one just to hold it. But I think I'm not going to be.
As a collector?
Maybe. As a first gen. We talked about this before.
Yeah, there was iPhones going selling for like $160,000 a couple of months ago.
Just hold
in
it.
In the box.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then maybe like have one to use. But the thing is like I don't ever see myself like constantly wearing that headset at home. I think, you know what it needs to be like? I think it needs to be like the Meta also partnered with Ray-Ban, I think. It was either Meta or Snap. I forget what it was. But it was these glasses that are more augmented reality based.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that more and more. I think more augmented reality bridging into mixed reality would be something that I would get because it needs to be like sunglasses for me.
Yeah.
If it's as light as that, if your processor is strong enough, like with whatever is on the side of the thing, where maybe I'm having to charge it once a day, like an Apple Watch, that's doable. Even that has gotten better over the years. But the reality is like there's not much that... there's a company called Nreal, if anyone knows about this. It's called it's a direct competitor to pretty much everything we're talking about, Apple Vision Pro, Meta Quest 3. Nreal is, it kind of looks like a sunglass, and they have like, they're kind of achieving that, but their battery life is a little flawed, but whatever. Form factor-wise, it's augmented reality, it's virtual reality, not mixed reality.
Okay.
But if you're looking at something that's sleek VR-wise, Nreal is a direct competitor. I've been seeing them pop up everywhere. They won a couple of awards here and there. And that's something that I would buy more. It just needs to be lighter. It's not like...
Was that the product that had the AI implementation into it where, like, let's say if you're looking at a tree and you're wearing these glasses, that The AI would tell you what kind of tree it is and if it's poisonous. All
I think
these
you're
different
thinking
things.
About the pin. There's another one that came out, but that's
no. Like, no, the pin, which I've been seeing lately, they were old designers from Apple, and they created that company. It literally looks like an AirPods case that you just throw on, like your jacket, right? Mm-hmm. That looks cool. I don't really know much about it. I've been seeing like pop-ups here and there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you know kind of like what is the main...
No, I mean, there's a lot of... There's so much in this competitive like space. You know?
Right now, too, yeah.
But that's the thing. I think the reality is, like, I just think for it to be... And I've been saying this for years. We've talked about it in so many different episodes. I think for everybody to be using it, for every single individual that wants to game with it, wants to wear it, wants to play Pokemon Go with it. You know, we're talking about future of gaming, right?
Yeah.
Which people already use your phones for AR, VR. But the reality is it just needs to be more accessible. It just needs to be more easy, affordable, which I don't see happening in the next maybe two to four or five years.
Okay.
I personally would be a full cent consumer. Yes. Like it's like any other accessory.
Agree. Yeah.
If it achieves those things.
I'm excited for the Apple portion of it because I want to see how they connect it with the iPhone.
Okay.
You know, obviously their entire suite of products have always been well connected and, you know, very user friendly. So I'm sure they know that. Really looking forward to kind of see what they do with that.
Yeah.
But as we kind of start to wrap up here, right?
Yep.
What product would you say are you like most excited for? I know we kind of just went through all of them, kind of gave our thoughts. Is there one particular product that we've either talked about or not talked about that it's like, when this comes out, I'm going to give this a run? Or not yet, so I suppose.
I mean, the Apple Vision Pro would be for it, but I don't know what the gaming implications of that would be. So it's, if it's talking about a product, that's something. But I mean, I'm more interested in gaming devices that are seamless, like gloves being put on and haptic devices that give
Meta
you haptic feedback.
Meta tried doing stuff with that. It's not really... It ain't there, and I don't even think it's even close.
It's going to take time.
Yeah.
It's going to take time to develop something like that. I mean, it's going to take a lot of R&D. So I don't think we're there yet, but I think some of the things that we talked about are pretty interesting. I mean, we'd love to hear anybody that's listening and watching any of our clips. What do you guys think about some of the things that we're talking about? Did we miss anything? I feel like there's probably a lot that
there's
we missed.
There's just so much to cover, I think.
Yeah.
I think we covered the basics, but for me, I want to see what studio implements AI like first, and they're like very, very kind of in your face about it, you know, because you think about some of these really, really big game titles and like AAA studios.
Yeah.
What does Epic Games or Activision or anyone said about AI?
I think it would be insane if GTA said we're pushing it back by another year and implements all like it throughout
GTA, and they would do that because like, you know what?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think GTA would be a perfect use case scenario to do something like that with that as like, I don't know. I can't wait to see what that even looks like. But
I know.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Very much looking forward to, I think, in the next, you know, kind of like we said before, 12 to 18 months, we're going to see a lot of cool stuff come out. So, you know, both Saj and I will definitely be on top of it, not only, you know, for you guys in this kind of setting, but even as consumers, can't wait to experience it, man. So,
yeah.
As we, again, wrap up here, hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, any thoughts, questions, please comment, like, and subscribe as always. And we'll see you guys soon.
See you soon. Yeah, venture hustles, life is really what you make it. Building up your brand, it's whatever you created. Really ain't no limit, you just gotta love it. Working day and night, it's all about the venture hustle. Hey, venture hustle, time to take it to the next level. Let's go.